This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors. Such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello and welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. My name is Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, also a broker here at Daniels Trading, and you can follow me on Twitter at Turner's Take. Today, I just want to quickly talk about soybeans. Soybeans were up about 17 to 18 cents today, and there's been a lot of talk and a lot of calls about what is going on with that market. So a couple of things. I also wrote a newsletter on it with a few bullish ideas on it today, too. So I'll just quickly go over what happened and why we think the trend might be changing for beans here, and also for corn a little bit, too. Number one, soybeans is vegetable oil. If anyone noticed, oil was up a full penny today. It was up about 3%. And what's going on with vegetable oil is the palm oil situation. We've got low stocks out there from the exporting countries. And not only do we have low stocks, but we're going to have below normal production, too, for some of the vegetable oil crop that's being harvested right now. And that's not, you know, I'm not really talking about the United States, but I'm talking about around the world. These are definitely global price influences right now. And what's even more interesting about what's going on in soybean oil is that we're going to have these issues. We're not going to have an equilibrium in supply and demand in palm oil and vegetable oil around the world. We're probably a couple of months away for that. So the world market is going to have to price ration oil. And soybean oil is a part of that. We were up today, and that was helping lead soybeans higher. So that's very important to remember. Now, that's the oil side. What's going on in the meal and the soybean side? Well, one, with meal, Chinese margins for the crush, very strong. So that's going to keep a bid in the soybean market. Plus, we're hearing about China buying more cargoes of beans, so that's going to be a little bit bullish too. We have rain in the Midwest, slowing down harvest a little bit. Usually not a big deal if you have big supplies of old crop stock. However, that's not really the case. In the last WASD, the old crop stocks came down to 190 million bushels for soybeans, and quite honestly, I think they're going to be lower. One of the things that was interesting that went along with this rally is a lot of the news organizations that to get the estimates for stocks and the WASDE report, your Reuters of the world, Bloomberg's, Dow Jones, the Journal, all that, have started emailing guys like me saying, what are your estimates? And, you know, we start doing our estimates, and while I'm doing for the news companies, I'm also sending them to clients and putting them out in newsletters. So I've noticed other guys, you know, at other banks and other brokerage firms who head up with the same numbers and the reports for the news agencies are doing the same thing. And it sounds like to me they are thinking stocks are coming down too. So when we get September 1 stocks, which is announced at the end of September, I think the market's starting to build in, you know, maybe they're 20 or 30 million less. All of a sudden, old crop stocks are at 150 or 160 million bushels. That is tight. If that goes on and it's March, beans are at $15. The thing is, we are now in September, so beans are still under 10 as we wait for new crop to come on. But every day we have to wait for the new crop harvest, or at least, you know, is going to add pressure in the near term into the cash and into the front month of the futures. So that's what's going on there with the soybeans. And now if we take a look at South America soybeans, they have tight stocks. I was looking at the WASDE estimates that we have to publish for October with the news agencies, And, you know, we're cutting down estimates for exports on them too, because either one, they didn't have the beans, or the U.S. window is going to get extended for exports, and that's going to end up being a bullish factor. So a lot of bullish cards in the deck right there for soybeans. And what's interesting is September is always usually a month of harvest pressure and lower prices. And I get these emails, you know, that they, you know, from around the Midwest that say, you know, my field is X amount of acres and this is what we did. And, you know, these were the bushels paper we're doing this year. And this is the averages. And the soybean numbers have really been, I mean, they are setting records on a lot of farms, better than expected numbers. You know, when you do get the odd report of things didn't go so well, it's usually because of a very localized issue. You know, a part of someone's field had sudden death syndrome or something like that. But for the most part, they're very, very strong. So I wouldn't be surprised if the USDA said, you know, the national yield is closer to 51.5 or 52. So you do in some way add another 50 to 100 million bushels to the supply side of the soybeans, but you're going to probably take off some from the old crop stocks and also the new crop commitments. So it could be kind of a wash. What's interesting about that is that, you know, if the oil complex from the global oil complex, when I say oil, I mean vegetable oil, is going to be strong, and South America has tight stocks and dry weather, which could push back planting, there are some short-term catalysts that are lining up for soybeans here. November soybeans, $9.95, the $10 range is resistance and a pretty good resistance level too. So I wouldn't be shocked if we came back down after failing here, but eventually going back up again. You know, as soon as we get into October, if anyone who follows seasonal charts, when you get, you know, October 1st is usually when you start coming back up again. What usually happens is that's after the September 1 stocks report, and that's why sometimes you see the, you know, with the pressure coming off in basically from harvest, and then the stocks report comes out, and then the market starts focusing on basically what's going on in South America. So what I was writing about today was the November versus July soybeans, and also November 16 versus November 17 soybeans. I think it's a very interesting play. If, you know, November soybeans 16 versus July soybeans is trading around a 17-cent carry. What's interesting about that is we haven't been that low in probably the past year. Full carry for a spread like that is probably closer to 35 or 40 cents carry. You know, so maybe, you know, there's 20 cents risk of downside going to that. But if you look at spreads and how high they can go in November versus July, it's a very interesting risk-reward play. It's something I would not only just have spec look at, but also hedgers who either want to re-own the cash they just sold or have an advanced sale. Elevators do this all the time. It's called pre-spreading, where you have an advanced sale where you know in the future you're going to make a sale. So what an elevator will do sometimes is to capture the carry is bear spread when the carry is high, and then eventually come into the market and buy from the farmers, and then start to offset the spread. It's called pre-spreading. Farmers can do the same when they're hedging. It's called pre-spreading, except instead of bear spreading like the elevators do, they're actually bull spreading. So it is a very, you know, some farmers like to buy way out of the money calls this time of year when prices are low, you know, like a 450, you know, the July corn call. That way, if, you know, the market goes up, let's say big during planting or growing season next season, you know, the call, they already have the call. So if they have to sell their cash, but they still want to have re-ownership, they can sell the cash and still keep the call. And it's a, you know, without having to buy the call, you know, when the market's, you know, tearing up, you know, the market in March, April, or June, May or June, you know, they buy it now. Bull spreading or pre-spreading for the farmer is a little bit of the same concept. You know, if you have a carry like Dease corn versus D17 corn is a 40-cent carry. Full carry for that spread realistically is probably 55 cents, so it's only 15 cents lower. But if you have real issues with the corn crop or no one plants, or, you know, something happens to South American crop, the as corn moves up, the bull spreads move up too. So that would be pre-spreading for the farmer. It'd be basically a pre-spread for the thought of an eventual sale earlier in the spring, a lot like how the elevators do it, but just on the opposite way. So I was writing about that a lot. I liked that a lot. I thought it was a very interesting idea for spec traders and farmers alike. I can't give trade recs on a podcast, but I can talk about, you know, the markets that we're looking at. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you can give me a call at 800-958-9470, 800-958-9470. You can also give us a call, shoot me an email at Craig Turner at Daniels Trading, or come to the website, turnerstake.com, and you can find all my contact information there, and even take a trial of Turner's Take Market Alert, where a lot of this would be in. So, just wanted to do a quick podcast today, talk about soybeans. There are some things that are going on in this market that are signifying more of a bullish tilt to the market for the next couple of months. All right, have a great day. Talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.